In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've mentioned it in the past. I mention it again on this fifth Sunday after Easter. If you look around and you look at all the problems and all the evil that exists in our world, both at the global level, at the national level, at the local level, in your homes, in your own hearts, in your own personal lives, really, at the root of all those problems and at the root of all evil are really two things. Always keep this in mind, because in order to work out our salvation, in order to give glory to God, in order to be able to grow in our faith, in order to be able to correct this evil and these problems that exist in our lives and in our world, we always have to be addressing these root or basic sins. And there are really only two. The first one is the rejection of God's truth. The rejection of the one true faith, the Catholic faith. Any time and any place that the truth about God, that the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith is being rejected, is not being believed, this is going to be at the root of all evil and all problems that we experience in the world. God loves us. He's given us His truth. He's given us the light. The light of the world has come into the world to save us. And yet there are still many, many who reject that light. Particularly during this Eastertide, it's very clear how important this first point is. Think just for a moment what we heard in the Gospel today from John chapter 16. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ in today's Gospel are revealing very clearly His divinity, that He's God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He's God. The religion and the church that He has founded is the only truth. And that's why Jesus, in speaking to His disciples, He tells them to ask in His name, to pray in His name. Everything we do has to be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. If something is not done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it will not be able to give glory to God, work for the salvation of souls, and work for our good and the good of others. And that's also why our Lord Jesus Christ, you might say, compliments, so to speak, His disciples, because He tells them that now they have believed that He comes forth from God, that He's true God. And He tells them, I come forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. It is an expression of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. What our Lord Jesus Christ has come to establish is there for every single soul that is conceived and is born into the world. And think for just a moment about the resurrection and ascension. Right now, Eastertide, the very holy season that we're celebrating as Catholics. Think about this. Never in the history of mankind, never in the history of mankind, with one exception, there's only one time that we have a man, and in this case, not just true man, but true God, a man who has predicted his own death by crucifixion, and then 3 days later predicted that he will rise again from the dead. It actually takes place. He rises from the dead, conquers death by his own power, and then ascends into heaven. Historical facts. It's only happened one time in the whole history of mankind. One time. Every single human being has to recognize this and recognize there is no other religion, no other truth that can compare with what our Lord Jesus Christ says and what He has established through His Holy Catholic Church. And again, that's why there's that number one basic root of all the problems in our world, because there's so many, many men today that reject Jesus Christ, that reject the Holy Catholic Church. That can only lead to harm. It can only lead to problems. It can only lead to sadness and sin and to doom. And the second one, obviously this first one does not apply to us, because if we're Catholic, we've already accepted our Lord Jesus Christ and accepted the truth of the Holy Catholic Church. But remember, that second problem then is all those Catholics who are not practicing faithfully the Catholic faith. And this is where each and every single one of us, where we've got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of prayer to do to ask for God's grace so that we will be able to live our Catholic faith well. Basically, what always happens is that even as Catholics, because of the attacks of the devil, the influence of the world, our own concupiscence, our own weakness, we sort of try to adapt the practice of our faith to ourselves. What I think, what I want, what is comfortable for me. And that's also what's going on in our Catholic Church. Sort of at a larger level, it's why the Catholic Church is going through such a crisis right now, particularly in the post-conciliar years, in the last 40 years. Because basically the changes that have taken place in the Holy Catholic Church, it's not a question of being faithful to everything that's happened prior to and everything that's been taught and done prior, but kind of this attitude and this approach that, well, we have to sort of adapt ourselves to the ideas of the modern world. We have to sort of, you know, make friends with all the people sort of, let's say, around us, even those who don't believe in the church or who don't believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very dangerous, even sinful approach to take. And that's why all of us as Catholics, we have a lot of work to do, both personally and at the level of the church, to be faithful to our Catholic faith, to practice it faithfully. There are many, many examples of this, of how there's so many Catholics out there that think they're practicing well their Catholic faith, but in fact, not even close. Catholics who think it's okay to miss Mass on Sunday and on holy days of obligation. Catholics who, for example, don't think it's that big of a deal if they're not married through the Holy Catholic Church. Many Catholics who are living in sin, who are fornicating, who are committing adultery. The list goes on. Many Catholics who are not faithfully living out an ordered life of prayer. Even just in question of, we might say just in general, among those Catholics who are not married, many times they think that as long as they quote-unquote don't go all the way, that they're not committing mortal sin and that they're okay. Completely false. Basically, the rule of thumb is, really, any kind of physical intimacy that there is there, particularly when you start talking about passionate hugging and kissing, only reserved for those who are married. And in a very real sense, even that being ordered towards the great gift of God of procreation. These are just some examples, but the point is that there's a lot of confusion in the church today, because we're, you might say, adapting or changing the faith to suit our needs. We can't even change the Catholic faith to suit the needs of a certain period of time. Can't be done. It's going to lead to problems, to evil, to sadness, to doom in our world. One of the areas that I mentioned last Sunday that I'll say just a little bit about right now goes back here to the same thing. The dignity of the Catholic woman. The dignity of woman, her vocation, how God has created her. Related also to this, modesty. The importance of practicing Christian modesty. Here too, you mentioned some of these things. Many, many Catholics are very confused. They don't even think this is relevant to their Catholic faith. We're not being sufficiently faithful to everything that Holy Mother Church teaches. Here's an example. Sometimes people will say this. I hear this pretty often among the faithful. They'll say, you know what, it doesn't really matter how I dress. It doesn't really matter how I dress, particularly even when I go to Mass. Because the important thing is that I'm there at Mass and God loves me and He's not worried about how I'm dressed. Completely false. Completely false. Why? Because, first of all, what does God desire most? He desires your salvation. God desires, first and foremost, that we give Him glory and honor, and He desires our salvation. He desires our sanctification. Every single human being that's there, God's great desire, commandment, is that that person give glory to God, work for the salvation of his or her soul, for the salvation of the souls of others, that he grow in holiness. If we're growing in holiness, and if we're trying to give glory and honor to God, the way that we dress is very relevant. Part of the problem here also is that so often we begin with ourselves. Notice the person who says this. Well, it doesn't matter how I dress because, you know, God loves me. They begin by how they dress and how they want to dress, and then they talk about God and God's love. No question that God's love is immense. And no question that God's love is the greatest. It's what grounds our entire faith as Catholics. But you always have to begin with God's love. You don't begin with yourself and then sort of justify what you do or do whatever you want to do and then sort of say, and God loves me. As Catholics, we have to follow that hierarchical order. First and foremost, God loves us. God is love. But then, God commands. Just remember that order. God loves me. God commands me. Everything that God commands is because He loves me. God wants me to be with Him forever in heaven. God's never going to pull out a commandment sort of just out of thin air and just say, let's do this just for fun. Let's see what happens. God is infinitely wise, infinitely good. He commands so that what will come to be is His glory and honor and our salvation. So God loves me, God commands, man obeys. Same thing with modesty, with the dignity of woman. Because God loves, God commands, and He's created the woman in a special way, in a very beautiful way, in a very unique way. God's commandment of how to live as a Catholic woman, God's commandment to all of us of how to practice chastity and practice modesty, it's part of His commandment. He's put it also in the teachings of His church, but He's put it also into our very being. And then what it's up to us to do is to then obey and follow that. That's when you're really respecting God's love and God's commandments. Never fall prey to the lies and the errors of, I can do what I want, I'm doing what the world is doing, it doesn't matter how I dress, all these things, and then sort of adding on because God loves me, because God this and because God that. The whole order has been flipped upside down. Always begin. God's love, God commands, man obeys. How do I obey then? How do I live? How do I have to act? How do I have to be a husband? How do I have to be a wife? How do I have to obey my parents as a child? Remember what I mentioned last Sunday. Basically, the church with regard to the Catholic woman is teaching. In the very structure of her body and of her soul, she's geared to be able to give that great gift of life. And so, that's why we always have to resist the lies of modern feminism. Because modern feminism is going and attacking the woman at the very root of her being and telling her the fact that you give life and the fact that your womb is sacred and the fact that in a very special way you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you can set that aside and that's not important. The Catholic woman has very special gifts like her maternal instinct, her ability to nurture, her ability to notice, you might say even the little details of caring for her home, caring for her husband, caring for her children, raising her children, nourishing her children, being able to sacrifice and give of herself, enduring with patience and with perseverance. All those are very special and sacred gifts that God has endowed every woman with. And it's to use them well. Notice what begins to happen in our modern world and in modern feminism. By tearing the woman away from her home and away from giving life and sending her off to work and sending her out to be like men and sending her out to get an education like men. It's tearing her away from her true and proper vocation. Listen to these words from the Curé of Ars, St. John Vianney. Coming right up in about a month is going to begin a special year of the priest that our Holy Father Pope Benedict has proclaimed. He's proclaimed the year of the priest. And we pray to God that it will serve for greater conversion and sanctification in the priesthood. But our Holy Father has also highlighted the importance of St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ars, for this year of the priesthood that is coming right up. But listen to the following words of the Curé of Ars. And again, this is something not that long ago. The Curé of Ars died roughly about 150 years ago. Listen to what he says about the duties of the pregnant woman. Words from one of the holiest saints of our Catholic Church. And listen closely because you just about never hear something like this anymore. If you just about never hear something like this anymore, It means that we're veering away and sometimes very far off. Our true roots as Catholics. We have to recover these things. This is what the Curia of Ars says, quote, "As soon as a woman is pregnant, she should say some prayers or give some alms." Think about this. She's lifting up her soul and her mind and her life to God. He continues, quote, "Better still, if she can do so, she should have a mass said to ask the Blessed Virgin to take her under her protection, so that she may obtain from God the blessing that this little child may not die without having received holy baptism. If a mother truly had the religious spirit, she would say to herself, 'Ah, if I could only be sure of seeing this little child becoming a saint, of seeing him for all eternity by my side, singing the praises of God, what a joy that would be for me.'" Notice how everything is oriented to that new life that's beginning in her, to nurturing it, to caring for it, not just in a physical, human, natural way, but especially supernatural. That she's already praying and in a sense sort of consecrating herself to God, asking the Blessed Virgin Mary for the help so that her child will be able to receive holy baptism and then will be able to even become a saint. And you hear how the Curia of Ars is saying, if she's truly religious, that her greatest prayer is going to be able to see her son or her daughter, her little child, becoming a saint. That's not just something you give birth and then forget my child, leave her with someone else, I go off to work, I go off to do other things. It's probably never going to happen. Because God has blessed that Catholic woman and mother with so many special gifts to be able to nurture that life, not just in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way, so that that child can then become a saint and be with his mother, obviously also his father, to be there, part of the family of God forever, praising God in heaven. We've got to really knock our heads back into Catholic shape and figure out the fact that God is commanding, because He loves us in many, many ways, even in the very body, structure of the woman's body and of her soul, what we should be doing. We cannot fall for the lies of modern feminism. And then, listen to what the Curia of Ars says at the end. This is very significant. After he says what the Catholic woman who's pregnant should be doing, her true identity, her true vocation, her true dignity, then he goes on to say what's going on in actual practice. And this is 150 years ago. It's pretty bad what he says. And what's going on now is far, far worse, I'm certain, than what was going on back at the time of the Holy Curia of Ars. And this is what he says. He says, quote, "But no, my dear brethren, this is not the thought which occupies the mind of an expectant mother. She will experience rather a devouring resentment on beholding herself in this state." Think about what he just said. Resentment at beholding herself in this state. Exactly what modern feminism tells women. You know, if you're pregnant, don't be a slave. That's enslaving you. You've got to liberate yourself. Here are some contraceptives. If that doesn't work, there's abortion. That's limiting your capabilities. You got to go study. You got to go to work. I mean, lies of the devil. And there you hear the Curia of Ars saying, she will experience rather a devouring resentment on beholding herself in this state. And perhaps, listen very closely, words of the Curia of Ars, and perhaps the thought of even destroying the fruit of her womb will come to her. Hello, 21st century society, particularly, we don't want to look at other countries, here in our country. Something that it's so bad, it's sort of trying to be established as a right of the woman. Diabolical. Curia of Ars saying perhaps even the thought will come to her of destroying the fruit of her womb. And he says, "Oh dear God, can the heart of a Christian mother conceive such a crime?" Well, finally, look at this. If our world today is so confused and so lost about the true dignity of the woman and her true purpose and vocation, the beauty that God has blessed her with, how in the world can we think that the world knows what it's doing when it comes to fashions and when it comes to modesty? really think about this. Do not ever fall prey to the false ideas and images that the world is giving us about how we should dress and how we should act. It's completely false. It's completely off the mark. Because the way a woman dresses and the way a man dresses and the way we practice modesty is but a reflection and a putting into practice of how God has created us and being faithful to the commands of God. God commands, we obey. I'm just going to read to you what's written in the bulletin, and I ask you to read it again carefully. Hopefully more and more you'll be able to explain that to others. Trust me, these aren't my own ideas about modesty. You can look up a little bit on modesty if you have your computer and the internet, and just look and see what the popes have written and documents that have come out from Rome, particularly in the first half of the 20th century, when, you know, fashions were changing for the worse. Just look up everything that they've written precisely about modesty for us as Catholics. Before I read that, I just want to remind you, these are two of the short phrases or words of Our Lady of Fatima that she said to Jacinta before Jacinta's death. Just this past Wednesday, we celebrated the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. One thing I'd also strongly encourage all of you to do, if you're not familiar with the message of Our Lady of Fatima, make an effort to become more familiar with it. We've got a lot of different little booklets and pamphlets and things that explain the message of Our Lady of Fatima. If you want a special project for the month of May and even into the beginning of June, set yourself that project. You know, again, you can also do a lot of this research on the internet with there are some good websites, particularly with Father Nicholas Gruner, where you can find out a lot about Our Lady of Fatima. But these are two things that she said, and notice, she's saying this roughly about 1920. She says to Jacinta, certain fashions will be introduced that will offend our Lord very much. These are words of the Mother of God, not my words. Certain fashions will be introduced that will offend our Lord very much. She's saying this in 1920. What do you think she would say about the fashions that are in vogue today? And then Our Lady says, regarding the sixth commandment, more souls go to hell because of sins of impurity than for any other reason. And obviously the way we dress and the way we practice modesty is very much related to sins of impurity. This is what's in the bulletin. Please make sure that you read it and go over it carefully. Dressing modestly, especially in the summer. Now that the weather is getting hotter, all good Catholics must be even more diligent in practicing modest dress. Modesty in the way we dress is an essential aspect of the truly Christian life. Catholics must always dress modestly, especially at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Above all, dressing modestly is a way of honoring and respecting God. For in baptism, He has fashioned your body into a temple of the Holy Ghost. Immodest dress disgraces and profanes this temple. Moreover, modest dress shows charity towards our neighbor. Dressing in a way that reveals too much of the body becomes a temptation for others, even if you do not intend it. You will be an occasion of sin for someone if you dress inappropriately, and this is sinful. We are called to be our brother's keeper. Finally, modest dress is a manner in which you are able to grow in holiness and self-discipline. Without ever uttering a word, you are being a good Catholic example to others. Modest dress is one of the important ways for Catholics to submit to the kingship of Christ. Obey, remember. God loves, God commands, man obeys. To submit to the kingship of Christ and effectively fight against the devil, the world, and the flesh. And then at the end there, I have some basic guidelines for modest dress for both men and women. No one should be able to see your bare shoulders. Please, everybody pay attention to this, particularly for Mass, but all the time. No one should be able to see your bare shoulders, back, chest, knees, or midriff. Clothing should not be skin tight. Clothing is meant to veil the body and should never reveal the contours of the body. And particularly for women, cleavage should not be seen. It is preferable if your sleeves reach at least to your elbows, and your neck collar should not be more than two finger widths beneath the pit of your throat. That's in the bulletin. Please read it and take it to heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.